Okay, I'm full of such despair about Conjuru, and I'm so happy about his thousandth game with the Flyers, but like the fact that he's going to be traded is so sad. And it's so sad because he's like so synonymous with the Flyers, because obviously like 1,000 games with them is absurd. But also the reason I'm so sad is because I wanted him to win a cup with them, and he wanted, like, they went to the finals when he was so young with them, and there was that like fluky goal bizarreness with the Hawks, and like obviously like the thought then is like, oh well, like we'll be back, and then like he never like got back and all of it, and it's so sad. I just like wanted the Flyers to be good for him, but he's on his way to Florida and I hope he wins a cup, but it's like still not the same. I'm very sad. That's about all. I really do need to go figure out if my computer is permanently broken.
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I'm having a lot of fun.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Broadcast. It's Georgia here. I am with Sam. Mallory's computer has died. It has gone to heaven. So it's just the two of us this week. We tried to get Vanessa to join in, but it was too last minute. That's fine. So it's just
by last minute, like literally 5 minutes ago.
Literally. I texted her, Vanessa, do you want to talk about sports? She's not at home, so that's fine. You can accept that she has a life.
She's probably just walking Luna.
Probably that's true. Okay, so we are going to talk about trade deadline. Trades are happening in the NHL. Trade deadline is on Monday, and also just about the general, you know, Pacific Division clusterfuck that is what we are in right now. And then we'll finish up by talking a little bit of women's hockey. There was some reporting done today by Jeff Merrick about meetings between the PHF and the PWHPA. So we'll end with that. First, though, happy St. Patty's Day to everyone who celebrates or pretends to be Irish today. Today is the day of cringe tweets. I don't have like people pretending to be Irish. I don't know if you saw that Nancy Pelosi read a Bono poem.
Did you I see saw that? That. I thought it was a joke.
So did I and it wasn't.
I literally like I saw it. I was like, oh, that's actually like a really funny joke. And then I was like, oh no, it's not. It's real.
Yeah, that happened. And then the Chicago Bears tweeted something about because in Chicago they turn the river green, but they tweeted something about turning it orange because of the Bears, but obviously like they've started a sectarian. Like it's just anyway. More importantly though, Troy Stetcher is playing his first game back in Vancouver since he was traded. Just a bittersweet day for me as a person, as a Canucks fan. I have a blood feud. Like I have a blood feud with Jim and John still.
As you should.
And I'll never let it go. Be bitter for life. It's fine.
Am I doing the game recap tonight or are you doing the game recap tonight?
Me.
Okay. Yeah. I will do the next one.
Yeah. Who are they playing next? Oh, Calgary.
Good question.
They're playing Calgary on Saturday.
Perfect.
Okay, so let's talk about the trade deadline. What a strange time. Basically, so trades have been happening. I think the first thing that kind of kicked off the most recent flurry was Josh Manson got traded on Monday, I believe, to Colorado. And then that kind of kicked off a few more. Tyson Jost got traded to Minnesota, which I think the most fascinating part about this is that he has red-green color blindness, so he can't even see the Minnesota jersey, which is wild. And like, I'm not making fun of him. Like, it's this.
Was that pun intended?
He talked about it, like people asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, I also can't see blue and purple. Just like, okay, so you couldn't even see the Colorado jersey. Anyway,
that was like one of the best social media segments Colorado did, was when they gave him like the special glasses so he could see colors.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, he was in a lot of their best social media hits. It's
he really was. Yeah, it was a real loss for them. So he's with Minnesota now. Frank Vatrano got traded from Florida to New York, which was basically just, he got traded for a fourth round pick, which was kind of just a salary dump, because then Florida traded for Ben Sherratt. This was such a fleecing. Like, I can't believe Ben Sherratt got, not only did he get, did they get a prospect for him, a third round pick, they got a 2023 first round pick, a fourth round pick in this year's draft, and then they're also, Montreal's also retaining half of his contract, and he's a free agent after the season. So this is like a classic trade deadline rental fleecing that we just saw, which is incredible.
My first thought when I saw that was the Canucks should trade everyone.
Oh, literally.
If you can get that for Ben Sherratt, like, come on.
Yeah, me too. Just wild, wild shenanigans. I think now Montreal has like 13 picks in this year's draft, something like that, which is.
Well, they had like, they had a whole bunch last year too, right?
I think so. I know that. So they, and they're actually like, they're doing a good job of selling off their players, because they sold off to Foley, obviously, and they got a first rounder for him. And then with this, they got more. Like, it's pretty wild, but also Florida wants to win a series.
Well, and they're apparently not done, because now they're apparently the front runners for Claude Giroux.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. The next big one was Cal Yarncroak got traded from the Kraken to the Flames. This is basically just the Flames needing to like bolster their center depth. But also it created a very cute story. Also, well, I will say also the Frank Vatrano story is cute, because him and Jacob Trouba were like best friends in high school. And there's all these like photos of them in high school, which is very cute. But even cuter is that Cal Yarncroak and Elias Lindholm are cousins. And then they're also best friends with Jacob Markstrom. So they all used to have sleepovers as children, because they're all from the same hotel.
That's so cute.
Which is really cute. And they were talking about it, and they got asked today by the media. But it's very cute. And I guess like what's interesting about this is sometimes, I mean, the like age old thing is, oh, you bring in a new guy, it like disrupts the locker room or whatever. And like, there's no way this is disrupting locker room at all, because he's like already part of the family, which is very cute. And for Yarncroak, they got a second round pick for, or they traded a second round pick from this year, a third in 2023 and a seventh in 2024. Again, Canucks, what are you doing? Do you want to trade some players? Probably not. They probably won't, though. We'll discuss that later when we talk about the Canucks now playoff push. So the Yarncroak trade is interesting. So we'll see if Calgary's done or if they want to push for anything more. So people were expecting Sherratt and Yarncroak to go, and now the kind of all eyes are basically on Claude Giroux, who played his 1,000th game tonight. He was named first star. He did like, he basically had like a goodbye. And he gonna get traded. But now the question is where. I guess you were saying Florida.
I think it's going to be either Florida or Colorado.
That's, yeah. I wonder. Yeah, it's like an end of an era in Philly, if you think about it. It's kind of crazy. But also, he deserves to have a chance to win a cup, I guess.
Go to Colorado.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be fun.
Speaking of 1,000th games, Frank Giordano also played his 1,000th game. He's also, people are predicting he's going to go. I mean, the first captain of the Kraken, goodbye. It's been nice knowing you. That happens. That will be very funny. But also people like Jake DeBrusk, Jacob Chychrun, et cetera. So I don't know. I like the trade deadline. Like, it's fun. Obviously, the more active day now is free agency. Now it's just a lot of like hockey insiders filling time.
So much time.
So we'll see what happens.
So unnecessary.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Other news, before we discuss what we think the Canucks will do is, Thomas Hertl signed. So people were wondering if he was going to get traded, but he signed 8 years. I think the average is either just under or just over 8.1 million. The first 3 years of that are no trade. Basically, this means JT Miller is going to be signing at least a $9 million contract.
Okay, so last week I tweeted that if you look at the top 10 scorers, which he's like right at the bottom, like he was right behind, he was right ahead of Rantanen and right behind Ovechkin. I was like, Rantanen's making 9.3 and Ovechkin's making 9.5. And that's kind of like roughly where everyone else on the list is, except Johnny Gaudreau, who's going to get a massive raise this offseason and is the exact same age as JT Miller. So that'll be super interesting. But like, he's not getting 7.5. Whoever is out there saying he's getting 7.5, he's not taking 7.5. Or if he does, he has the world's worst agent.
Yeah, who also I'm pretty sure has been like tweeting stuff about money.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, generally when you're going into like your last major contract, the common sense thing is players will either you've been with a team forever and you love the city and you want to, you'll take a quote unquote hometown discount to stay. That's doesn't apply here. There's the case where your team is really close to winning. So you might, and you might have like really good chemistry and really like your teammates and you have the best chance to win. So like something like Colorado. Also not the case here. They're not close to winning. And then the last option is you're getting old. You have one last contract. You secure the bag.
Yeah.
I don't like, he would have to be completely insane to not go for the biggest contract he could go for.
Yeah. So his agent tweeted the Jerry Maguire, show me the money gif. So I think we know where that's headed. I will say the other interesting thing. So I find JT Miller really fascinating. I don't know if you read, Harmon's piece that he did this week. It was really interesting. You got a really interesting perspective on Miller. I really like him as a hockey player. Like I would want him on my team. Like he's one of the guys that he clearly wants to win. He can play kind of anywhere in any position, which is obviously particularly the fact that he can take faceoffs and he like can win faceoffs is obviously very, helpful in the league today. And that he can kill penalties and be on the power play. All that stuff is great. The piece was really interesting. I got kind of more into, the fact like the turning point of his career, which is when AV sent him down to the minors, actually, cause he was late to a team skate or team meeting. I can't remember what it was, but in Vancouver, which is quite interesting. And AV basically was like, you're never going to equate to anything. Like you're just going to be an AHL player because like your attitude is shit. And it like completely turned around his career. So you can kind of understand where he gets the vibe from. Like, I feel like in the locker room, he's probably one of those guys that holds people accountable. Like I could see him, like, remember when Bo yelled at Jake Virtanen? I could also see, yeah, that was a great moment. I could also see JT Miller being like that in the locker room. So you can understand the this idea of like, oh, he's a leader or whatever. And he's also, to be fair, like, as much as Bo has done a good job of being captain, Bo's also like, and has spoken to things, Bo's also like, Bo's Bo. Whereas JT Miller can be like, this COVID situation is fucked. And can come out and say that, which I don't think he would be able to do if he was captain. Anyway, find JT Miller to be a fascinating person. And part of it is tied to, he's also an American player. And I think we do have to think about American, like the reality of like an American player signing in Canada. Can you make more money elsewhere? What's the tax situation like? The issues with like your family. I'm not saying in any way that Natalie Miller would be like, you can't play here, because if he was getting paid a lot of money, I'm sure she'd be fine with that. But it's also something players do like take into account. And her mom just died, and there's like a lot of stuff that goes into it. So it's not just as simple as, A, let's throw all the money we can at him, because the Canucks don't have all the money unless they start trading people like Brock and Bo. It's also like there's other stuff that goes into it. And so I think like, I don't picture JT Miller being like, I'll take a hometown discount, which you kind of need him to do. And which that's why the 2011 team was successful, is because you got people on hometown friendly contracts. Like that's not, I don't, it's not going to work in this case, and like power to him. And Thomas Hertl signing for that much money, like
somewhere where he actually could have taken a hometown discount.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's tough. So yeah, it just like, it doesn't change the game, but it just becomes the new, benchmark, I guess, that the Canucks are going to have to figure out. And so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do. And now I think also the problem, like with this, like now the fact that they're actually in the quote unquote playoff hunt, what a weird year, by the way, what a wild Canucks year.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. Now you can see them being like, oh, we want playoff games because we make revenue, so we're not going to trade important players. And then we're right back to where we started
from. I was going to say, I have seen this show before. I'm over it.
And I didn't like the outcome. It's always like this. Like, how do they manage to do this every year? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's the JT Miller conundrum though, right? Like, and the other thing about the JT Miller thing is like, it's not that people don't, I feel like there's this conception that people don't appreciate how good he is. I think everyone knows how good he is and like would like to keep him in an ideal world, but given where they are at competitively and like where they're at with their cap, it's tough to think that it will be worth the first 3 years of his next huge contract when there is probably going to be another 5 years after that. And like, yeah, I'm not saying he's going to drop off at 30, but he's certainly going to drop off at some point between 34 and 38.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to pay for those years? Because you're already paying for Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Tyler Myers. A lot of big contracts for not a lot of production out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think he's such a fascinating player because he's just outside the age when you're like, And then also like, if you are re-signing him, you are basically betting on the Canucks being good enough in those first 3 years. And I don't know what the Canucks are because they're so, they make no sense. like they don't make any sense. So that's also like, yeah, I don't know. This market's so weird because it was all like, oh, we're trading JT Miller, and it made sense because he has the highest stock. And now they're trading Garland because Jim Rutherford doesn't like the OEL/Garland trade, which, like, fair enough. I mean, OEL's been fine. Like, I guess like OEL's, OEL hasn't been terrible. Like, is that our benchmark now?
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah. And we still need defense. And yeah.
I mean, you look at a team like, I say this all the time, but you look at a team like Colorado, like that blue line is wild. Mm-hmm. Like they have something like 8 or 9 NHL caliber defensemen. It's so deep. Like, it's ridiculous. And we have like 2, maybe 3.
Sad days. Speaking of the Canucks, Elias Pettersson started the game today playing with Nick Batan and Alex Chiasson. Which, like, again, this team makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. And so, like, I really wonder, I want to know, like, what's happening? I know Rachel Dory's here. Like, what's happening? Are they trading people? Like, please tell us. Are you selling? Like, they can't be buying. There's no way they're buying. But, like, are they just not going to do anything? Or are they going, like, I don't understand. Because, you know, 2 months ago, it was like, oh, it's so clear. They have to start trading people, and we're fine with that. We're in a, like, quote unquote, not rebuild, but, like, whatever. We are rebuild on the fly or whatever. And now it's like, oh, no. Oh no, Francesco's gonna want playoff games.
That's so brutal.
It's so brutal.
They're just gonna be stuck in like mediocre to like kind of competitive forever.
Yeah, that's what it really feels like.
Unless they get lucky, like the Habs 1 year.
Yeah. Pain, this team. Playoff hockey's fun at least, but like also like watch like Quinn Hughes get injured. Like, watch, they don't trade anyone at the deadline, and then, or like Demko gets injured, and then we're like, oh great, this is like,
that would be so bad.
But that's how it works. Like, we all know that's what's gonna happen. It's just life as a Canucks fan. Okay, so speaking of the actual playoff run, playoff race, basically, like, it's very clear that Colorado's gonna win the Western Conference. They're like
unstoppable.
They're 10 points up on the next closest team, which is Calgary. So that's pretty clear. Also in the Central, they're like 15 points up on St. Louis, who's the next team. Right now, the playoff standings, like as we're speaking right now, it's Colorado, St. Louis, Minnesota out of the Central, Calgary, LA, and Edmonton from the Pacific. LA, by the way, we predicted that. That's in our broadcast season preview. Somehow we predicted that. And then
good vibes.
Yeah, exactly. And then the wild card spots right now are Nashville and Vegas, I believe, though I do know that Dallas won tonight. I don't really know what that does exactly. So now it's Nashville and Dallas. Sorry. And Dallas has like 2 games in hand, I think, they have 3 games in hand on Vegas. So right now, Vegas is not in a playoff spot, which is kind of crazy. But they've been free falling because they don't have goaltending, and it's not looking good.
It's so interesting because, like, objectively, everyone agreed that trading Fleury was the right thing to do, given his age. Mm-hmm. But they really went from having like some of the best goaltending
in the league to like just trash.
Yeah, it's, well, it's
I also amazing. Think losing Alex Tuck was like a bigger loss than they thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that. And yeah, so yeah, they've lost, Vegas has lost 5 in a row now, which is crazy. And so right behind them now are the Canucks. They're only 1 point back. They have a game in hand. They're 2 points out of a wild card. Dallas still has 2 games in hand on them. Which is like, that's so, I can't believe, I literally cannot believe, like from the point we were at in December, which like was, oh, okay. Their saving grace was that Seattle existed. And I guess Phoenix is, or Arizona as well. And now we're talking about this, like the Pacific Division, truly, like what a weird place to be.
So weird.
Did you see the Daryl Sutter press conference?
I actually didn't.
I think they were asking about the wild card, and he was basically like, he was like, having to play Colorado is like, it's like a waste of 8 days. Like basically you're going to lose. Like it doesn't matter if you win, like if you're a wild card team or like wherever you are, like there's just, Colorado will steamroll you. So like you might as well just not play. Which
I love it. I love that kind of mentality.
It was very funny.
They've had deep teams for the last couple of years and they have not had a ton of playoff success. So, yeah. You know, so we'll see. Maybe not, but if this does look like the year where they are finally kind of putting it all together. I mean, and Kemper's been shockingly good.
He was good in Arizona.
Yeah. He had really good stats in Arizona, especially mm-hmm. considering the teams he had to play behind.
Yes. OEL. Party on. Okay. So yeah, I guess we'll see with the Canucks. Like they have to obviously maintain a really good pace. They're playing Calgary on Saturday. I don't know what's happening in the game right now because my TV froze. So I'm sure.
I will say the one thing that's driving me crazy is like the number of tweets I'm seeing that are like, since they switched coaches, this is the pace they've been on. So obviously this is the team they are. And it's like,
no,
that's not how this works.
They are also like seriously profiting off the fact that Vegas is in free fall. Like, I don't think anyone predicted that. Also,
But like, you can't take a month and a half of games and be like, gonna extrapolate this to an entire season and be like, they actually are one of the top three teams in the West.
I mean, but also their schedule for the next little bit is not going to be easy. Like, so
yeah,
they're playing Calgary, but then they have Buffalo at home. But then they're on the road against Colorado, Minnesota back to back. Then they're playing Dallas, who they like that. That's a, you have to win that game because you're competing against them in the wild card. Then they're playing St. Louis, like on the 28th, and then also the 30th, they're playing St. Louis. And then they're playing Vegas. So it's like, the schedules, they basically don't have an easy, like theoretically easy game if Vegas is not playing well until they play Vegas, but then after that, until they play Arizona on April 7th. So like, this will be the time. This will be the real challenge for
anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see.
My favorite kind of plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of me is like, oh yeah, I loved bubble hockey and that was really fun. I like the playoffs. And the other part of me is like, no, I want a long-term sustainable team, which, you know,
instant gratification is fun.
Yeah. Blame the ADHD. Okay, the last thing we're going to talk about is the latest women's hockey news. So Jeff Merrick reported this morning that the NHL basically has said that they want the PHF and the PWHPA to meet to basically try to form a singular league. I think that's like, that's the ultimate goal for the NHL in this, is they want them to create a single women's hockey league. So there's not the kind of schism that exists today. This is coming off the PWHPA meeting with the NHL last week, where they basically presented their future plans. Merrick reported that in those plans was the fact that they've received multi-million dollar funding over a period of like 8 to 10 years. He termed it as substantial. We don't know where that money's from. I'm like, please, for the love of God, if Eric Nardini is attached to this money, I will lose my goddamn mind, but I wouldn't be surprised. And then I guess the PHF is supposed to meet with them, but they're basically saying like, you need to get together. It reads basically like my immediate response, like, okay, this reads like the paternalistic NHL swooping in, being like, the girlies are fighting, it's time for the men to step in and we're going to like resolve this, because at the end of the day, they can't do anything without us. And Gary Bettman won't let NHL teams like link up with women's hockey teams until this is all sorted out. So like, they can't have the same owners. They can't kind of do what the WNBA did in the early years, where there was connections between all the teams. And so like, I guess we'll see what's happening. Like, the PHF has had some recent good news, like the new ownership team in Toronto, which includes
Angela James
and Chris, Anthony Stewart, amongst others.
Ted Nolan.
Yeah. So, very diverse ownership team. And then also they announced, they also got a huge chunk of funding, $25 million from the Board of Governors, which brings up their salary cap, has introduced, a bunch of health benefits for players for the first time, which is really great, obviously. So both leagues are kind of like in a good position. And I guess now the NHL is like, oh, you're here. Now it's time for us to come in. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? I have mixed feelings.
I have mixed feelings. I feel like, if they're going to invest in it the way and actively promote it the way the NBA has done with the WNBA, that's one thing. But looking at how the NHL markets itself, I don't have a lot of confidence in their ability to grow a new league. Like, they're not even good at growing their own league right now. I don't see how they would have the ability to properly market and push a women's league the way the NBA has done with the WNBA. So I'm super skeptical. I also just think like there's been so much drama between the PWHPA and the PHF that it's just, it feels like everything, every time they interact, it just feels super messy.
Yeah, like, so this isn't the first time that the NHL has tried to get them together. It's also not the first time that they've tried to get together to have these conversations. I think they, in 2020 maybe, or 2021, Kim Davis was like involved in trying to bridge the gap. And then there's always like shady stuff that happens, like in tweeting. And it, I guess that one of the big issues is that like the quote unquote stars, like all the Olympians are in the PWHPA. So there's kind of that dynamic that's challenging. And I think there is also a lot of women's hockey fans, but also people involved in women's hockey who are like, fuck the NHL. Why would we want to, why do we need to have a men's league acknowledge us? That's really frustrating that like, that's not the only way forward. And B, The NHL, like you said, like they're not great. Like, it's not like they're a perfect league that we're going to be able, like that's necessarily going to work. Then there's also a lot of women who are like, no, the only way forward in getting a recognition, television rights, is to do this model. And like, there's a lot of people who think that, and like, I don't know, I don't know the correct answer. I'm not going to pretend I'm the most well-versed in all the business dynamics of women's hockey. But I think, I do think one league would be great. I do think that then you can also think about like stuff like minor leagues or like feeder leagues and stuff, which would be also very helpful. Like, I don't just want there to be, you know, one division of women's hockey. If we can have the ECHL exist, we can have multiple levels of women's hockey exist. But I also do want to see them play. Like, I was just thinking about this because I was looking up stuff from the Vancouver Griffins, and, you know, I got to see them a little bit when I was younger, but like, I would love to be able to go and actually support and watch a team. I know there's a lot of people who would, and like, I want that. I want that. However we can get it, would be fantastic. What I don't like is the fact that, like, why is Gary, like, I hate Gary Bettman. Yep. And I don't want him to be the person dictating that. That's my problem. And also, just, you know, that the NHL is going to be like, look at us, we're supporting women's hockey, because hockey is for everyone.
It's just going to be like so superficial.
I think, the problem. But I guess the question is, like, are you willing? I guess for certain people in women's hockey, their thing is like, we're willing to put up with that superficial nature just to get the money to then, or the attention or whatever, for the good of the game. And there's some people who are like, no, I don't want to sell out, or I don't want to go that path. And then there's other people who are like, it's worth it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, my thing with this is, if you look at, I think the closest thing you have to an example of how this could go is you look at how the NHL has tried to grow hockey in Arizona. You know, they owned that team. They dump money into it. They hypothetically market it, but not well. And now they're going to go play in front of 5,000 people at ASU. Like, yeah, the franchise got a ton of money up front. They had some attention when it started, but where has it gotten them long term?
Yeah. I mean, they get the Bachelor people to go to the games. That's literally their marketing plan in Arizona. They're just like, oh, look at all these Scottsdale Bachelor contestants. Let's get them in Kachina jerseys. So funny. Yeah, I guess the debate will always come down to like continuous debate about being a woman in the world. Do you quote unquote sell out, or do you kind of exist within the structure and then try and dismantle it from within? And are you actually able to do that, or do you do it from the outside? And it's like, it's the kind of never ending, there's no right answer. There's no good way. It's shitty all around. It's just like the female experience. Love to live in it. Yeah. So it's the latest women's hockey news. Maybe we'll like get some smart people on to discuss it further.
We should.
Who like know the inner workings and stuff. Cause I know that there's kind of debates from both sides, and I understand both arguments. I just want to watch women's hockey. I really do. Fuck the Canucks. That's where I'm at. Okay, I think that's all we have for this week. We can do 3 stars, which is actually 2 stars. Like we can look up an obscure F1 name and just make that Mallory Star.
Horsey Albin.
Yes, Horsey Albin is Mal Star. Sam, do you have a star this week?
My star of the week is Chanel. Sunny Saitieva wrote a really, really cool piece on her today. And I was talking to her and she was like, it's like way too high of a bar. And I just think, Chanel, if you're listening, like, it was not too high of a bar. Like, you deserve everything that was said in that article. And I think you're going to do amazing things. So Chanel's my star of the week.
Oh, it's a good one. My star of the week is Gavin Giroux.
So cute.
He's the cutest. He was front stage center for Claude Giroux's 1,000th game celebration or ceremony, I guess. He was wearing a little suit. He also just started playing mini sticks at one point, which is very cute. The kid is an angel. He's my star of the week. Gavin Giroux. He'll be so sad when his dad is no longer a Flyer, which will probably be at least by Monday. All right. Thank you everyone for listening this week. As always, like, subscribe, leave a review. You can send us emails at broadcastpod@gmail.com. I know that someone emailed us about girls' baseball registration, so I'll try and post something. Sign your girls up for baseball. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at broadcastpod. And yeah, listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, etc. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye.